I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A. And we have some sisters joining us today, Bethany and Jenny. And they're called the Ericksons, but I just learned this interesting information that that's not actually their family name.
No.
So, Bethany, you want to tell us quickly that story?
Oh, well, I was just saying when we started playing music together, we would go out and they would, you know, we just sort of sign up for open mics and say Bethany and Jenny, you know, and but then we realized we needed to be, you know, have name recognition along with our music, and we thought, well, our family name is Cusick, which I won't even spell that right now, but the spelling looks nothing like it sounds, so we thought we cannot be the Cusicks, you know? Even though to many people we are, musically we can't. So Erickson is another family name. We use that.
Oh, okay. So it is in the family somewhere.
It is. Yeah.
Okay,
so
okay.
We didn't just pick it out of the air. That would be cheesy.
Well, and it's fitting because you're living in Minnesota these days, so it's a good Minnesota name.
It is.
That was actually another reason living in New York. I mean, where there are we just lived there for 3 years, but very few Scandinavian people in the city, you know, so Ericsson really stood out, which here, obviously, you know, it doesn't, but there it was
exotic.
It was exotic.
Well, I want to talk more about that in just your time in New York in just a little bit. But why don't we start with a song? What do you want to play for us?
We are going to play a song called Forever. It's a track off of our new album.
Thank you. The Ericsons live from Studio A with Forever. Very nice, guys.
Thank you.
Now, you're from the Midwest. Are you from Minnesota originally?
We were born in Minneapolis. Our parents grew up in the Twin Cities. And then when we were really young, we moved to La Crosse, Wisconsin. So we did most all of our growing up there and then went to college in Minnesota. And then moved out to New York and started playing music. So our roots are here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what inspired you to... had you made much music before you started doing it in New York?
We had. I mean, we were fortunate to grow up in... neither of our parents were our musicians, but just music was all over our house and just growing up with albums that will forever be in my head. And so we grew up singing and playing music together. I think Bethany started writing before I did. But we both started writing around college.
Mm-hmm.
And then her writing sort of kept going and kept, you know, more songs kept coming for her before it started for me. But we just started playing together and I started singing with her, and then the guitar thing started to happen. And then by the time we got to New York, we just knew that's why we were there. And we knew, you know, we were doing other random stuff. But music just became just like a little gift, you know, but we just knew that's what the point was of this. So
being out there.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned albums that will be in your head forever from growing up, and we all have those. Can you think of any offhand? Any names offhand? I always like to hear.
For sure. I mean, we were talking earlier about hearing Anais Mitchell. We were at a Sean Colvin concert, which we grew up listening to Sean Colvin. I went to that was my first concert when I was a kid in sixth grade. We drove to Madison to see Sean Colvin.
I remember being on, you know, we take family car trips, and I remember the two of us specifically requesting Fat City. I don't know if you know that album,
Sean Colvin.
Over, I mean, just incessantly, you know, for like younger kids to be requesting, I don't know, maybe
kind of funny.
It's not odd, but that album was huge.
For us.
But yeah, John Hyatt was another that we would just hear all the time.
Amy Mann, Sam Phillips,
Lyle Lovett.
Uh-huh.
Good music, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, I think, wow, yeah, you got a pretty, you know, usually there's some more, you know, kind of more embarrassing stuff in that mix, but yours not so much. You guys really solid, solid stuff.
It was all because of our dad. I mean, when he wasn't working, he was buying albums, you know, new albums, just good taste.
I did. I used to sit in our living room and, you know, before computers or anything, and alphabetize all the albums and look at them all. I mean, I think we were both just obsessed, just in love with music, you know, just anything we could get our hands on. And so it all started there.
You're lucky to be exposed to that all along.
So what inspired the move to New York to do music, or were you going for other reasons and music was part of it?
Jenny was already there. She was actually teaching sixth grade. And I was at kind of a life juncture where I needed a change. And I had been playing, you know, like she said, I had been writing songs and been doing music, you know, for years, but only privately, you know, and I never imagined it amounting to something, you know, or to really, you know, ever really going for it or knowing how to go for it, you know. So I thought, well, she's out there, you know. I mean, I've got this music. I just have, you know. and also, I think, you know, being in the Midwest, like we said, you know, our family is here, and I think being away from that and having that extreme freedom of, you know, being in New York or any big city that isn't your home, you know, you're exposed to so much, and we just had time and freedom to. We live together, and every single night, we would just play, whether it was a new song or a new sound, or it just took that time to figure it out. And because I think anyone can kind of sound like someone else, you know, and we're just coming from whatever we were exposed to and our influences. And but I feel like that time gave us a kind of a chance to figure some things out musically, as well as how do you make a life out of, you know?
I mean,
is this responsible? Like, are we, you know, I mean, am I a loser?
and is the jury in on that? Is it responsible? Is it a good life choice?
there's no going back now.
Exactly. Oh, well,
we are screwed.
Well, that's great. Oh, that's great.
So, yeah.
So, okay. So, I'm thinking, you know, New York City, how did you know where to start to play and start to do things?
Well, this was, I swear, just sort of a little miracle, but we rented this apartment in Park Slope, Brooklyn, and it happened to be blocks from this bar called Bar 4, which is now probably the biggest open mic in the city. I mean, and when we got there, it was just like a couple people playing, and we were just so lucky. We played there every Tuesday night. We signed up, we played, and by the time we left, the list was so long that people would play until 4 a.m. and then you still wouldn't get to play. And it was just random that we moved into this neighborhood, and that became our Bar 4 just became our community. It was like going to church on Sunday. We went every Tuesday and we heard what this guy was playing and what this friend wrote. And so it really just kind of found us in that way. And it was such a springboard into other venues in New York. And, but it all just kind of started.
Yeah, we were lucky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you recorded your first album in Brooklyn, right?
Mm-hmm. We did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And where in Brooklyn did you do that?
Well, I worked at a little cafe in this just awesome, actually that neighborhood. And so I met, you know, tons of people, and Alex Nahas, the guy who recorded it for us, just came in and, you know, said, I hear you play music, I record, you know, so I said, well, let's see, you know, because a lot of people record, you know, and do that kind of thing, but it was a good fit for us at the time, for sure, and we said, yeah, let's just sit down and talk, and he came to a few of our shows so he could see what we were kind of up to, and we did it in the basement of his brownstone, essentially. It was on the lower level, and just padded the windows and went for it. And at the time we were, I think because it was, you know, our first endeavor to record anything, and we just essentially didn't, we knew in a way what we wanted, but, so we were pretty uptight and pretty, we kept it, what would you say?
Pretty pared down. I mean, we were just, it was guitars and then, banjo, and pretty much then just an upright bass player played with us, and that was all we wanted. We couldn't even entertain the thought of drums or piano or anything. I mean, we were just so uptight.
Which I think it, says a little bit about our relationship to our music. You know, we feel we've definitely opened up a lot, but we were so protective of it. You know, I mean, there were these songs and what, you know. We just wouldn't let anyone mess with it, really. But leading into then recording our second album, that was an amazing experience in that we did open it up.
Let
and we
people in.
yeah, and it just taught us and showed us that, you know, you can become, and our sound definitely, you know, became even more, you know, so.
That's great. I like hearing about the kind of the learning experience of doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let's hear another song, and then maybe we can come back and talk about your second album a little bit.
Great.
What are you guys going to? Oh, the banjo's coming out. what are you going to do next for us?
I hope it's still in tune.
We're going to play a song called "Breaking the Rules."
This is the Erickson's on Live from Studio A. Oh, were you going to say more, Jenny? Sorry.
that was it.
No.
All right.
I'll just start playing my guitar. Go put your socks on, and I'll turn out all the lights. Go tell the others that we're staying out all night, and they'll go to bed dreaming the way you want's not far away. Cause I can't lose, you know, I can't lose, you know, not today. Cause I've been drinking and I've been breaking all the rules, and you've been stirring in my belly like a big old typhoon. It's gonna take a little longer to write down all these old lines and come up from the darkness with a little piece of light.
so go tell my mama. I'll be up before the dawn, go tell my father. He's been with me all along, and I'll tell your honey. She's all right with that other guy, and you won't cry, no, you won't cry, no, you won't cry. Maybe I'll stop drinking, and I'll forget all of my lines, and I'll go out to the country, and I'll give up all my pride, and I'll take all my money and count it down to fives and dimes, and I'll tie up my old bed sheets and crawl out the window at night. So don't you go on thinking that I didn't treat you good, that I didn't love you like you always thought I should, cause it's your own problem that I left you in the end. And I'm not crying, no, I'm not crying this time, my friend. I'm not crying, no, I'm not crying this time, my friend.
The Erickson's live from Studio A. And now, which one of you, I know you both write the song. Bethany, you write more of the songs, but Jenny, you write some too. Who wrote that one?
I wrote that one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Does it kind of work out if you're singing it, Jenny, you probably wrote it?
Pretty much.
If you're singing the lead.
Mm-hmm.
A song like that is interesting because Jenny is essentially the vocal harmony master. you know, like, I mean, I could... I mean, of the world. So if I write a melody 2 seconds, I mean, she could sing 3 different harmonies to whatever I'm singing. And so a song like that is funny. She wrote that completely, you know, and then we came together and I'm thinking, okay, what's my harmony part? You know, because sometimes I'll come up with something and she's like, well, you just sing the melody. I'll sing, you know, and then essentially came up with a second melody that she sings, but so it's mm-hmm. It's cool like that.
And so what inspires your songwriting, Jenny? Like where did that one come from?
Gosh, I remember when I wrote that song, I was just, songs are such a mystery to me, and I think they always will be, but that song, I was just like alone in my apartment at some probably Wednesday night. You know, I don't know what was going on, but the whole song was just there. I think I just played a G chord and the whole song all of a sudden was there. And it was so immediate that I never do this, but I immediately just got my computer out and made this little recording of me playing it, and it's very different now. It was very slow when I wrote it, and but I knew I needed to just record that one right away because I was like, I'm gonna go to sleep and forget that. Or but I, you know, lyrically, songs for me, I'm sure they all come out of some past experience or love or heartbreak or all of these things, but I'm never, when I'm writing, I never think of it like I'm gonna write about that person who hurt me or like this situation. It just sort of it's all there. It's all in the field of whatever comes out. I don't know.
How about you, Bethany? What's it like for you?
I think it's definitely similar. And I think that's why this musical relationship we have works so well. But I mean, that is just it. You know, I think it's a form of just processing life. You know, and I feel really fortunate and like it's a miracle and lucky every day, you know, anytime a song shows up, you know, it's not like, you know, like I feel awesome that I created it. It's like, I just feel lucky that I, you know, that came out, because everybody processes life, you know, mm-hmm. Everybody's got to have some way to, you know, think about past, future, whatever, you know, relate things. So... I think it's just I think that's absolutely what it is. So whether there's a thought, you know, or a feeling that spurs a song, or then like Jenny said, you know, she played that chord and then that song was there. I think oftentimes it's that. It's, you know, I'll be just doodling around on the guitar, and so it's certain sounds or certain sound progressions that then evoke, mm-hmm. you know, thought. Like she said too, it'll always be a mystery. And I think that's what keeps it going. You know, I think if you, I think the reverence we have for the act of creating something that didn't used to be there, you know, I mean, we don't have kids, but maybe it feels, you know, I mean, it wasn't there before. All of a sudden it's there. So that's kind of a sacred thing.
Do you guys ever, have you tried writing together at all? I'm always interested in that because some people seem like they write really easily with other people and other people don't. And maybe, I don't know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's another mysterious part of the creative process.
You know, we never write together. Mm-hmm. And we always, it's always someone writes a song and then plays it for the other person. And then we create something based on that, you know, like rough draft of whatever's there. But usually the song's done. And I've definitely like taken some lyrics of hers and put it in my song or things like that happen. But it's always, I feel like any song is always created alone. And then it's sort of exposed to what she thinks or what we could do with it together.
But I actually, that's a thought I've had lately. I'm just kind of interested because everything evolves, everything changes, you know. And I feel like lately I've been writing like half songs, you know, and then I'll kind of be like, what do I do with that? So then I think maybe that's something, you know, if I put out there. And so we'll see, you know, if that happens.
Now, you guys moved to Minneapolis last year, is that right? 2010?
Yes, we moved
like 2 years
winter
ago.
Spring of 2009.
And what inspired you to come to Minnesota, back to Minnesota?
It's, well, I'll say it's so good to be back here. I don't know, it's like every couple months I'm renewed with just being really happy about our decision. I think a million things inspired us to come back, but we were really looking for a musical community and people that, you know, New York, it's a wonderful place to be and create. And it's so saturated with people doing, like, trying new things. And it's almost like a oversaturated market of singer-songwriters or musicians. And we just, I think we wanted to come home. And we also just wanted to have sort of a rooted place to just play our music from. And now that we know that's what we're doing, we kind of didn't need to be there anymore. Does that make sense?
And two, I think once we, you know, had been doing it for a little while, we started thinking about what is sustainable. As a musician or as an artist, you need people to sustain you. You know, you need people to gather around and be your community. And we knew for sure that New York wasn't that when we thought about this as a life choice, you know, as a life commitment. But it's not like we knew this would work. You know, I mean, we just knew it was where we were going and knew we would give it everything we had and see.
And you recorded your album in Madison, is that right? Your most recent album? Mm-hmm. When did you do that?
We did that March 12th and 13th of 2010. And we recorded with a producer, Bo Sorensen is his name. He lives in Portland now and just a very talented, amazing person to work with. And he was working at Smart Studios, which is this incredible studio. It's the studio that like Nirvana and Smashing Pumpkins, and it was started by the Butch Vig of Garbage. It's just this historic, awesome studio, and we were the last people to record in it before it closed.
Oh wow, there's something.
And we That's almost something. Missed it. It was supposed to close in February, and then Bo emailed and said we can stay open one more month if you guys want to do it. And it was just the best experience. I mean, being in that place and working with someone who's so great to work with, and it was, we're pretty lucky.
Well, do you have one more that you want to share with us? Switching up the instruments again. No. Jenny's handing off the guitar, and
I'm gonna give Bethany this guitar.
And now we're trying to decide which song.
Okay, let's do it. Okay.
And their latest album is called Don't Be Scared, Don't Be Alarmed. I was actually curious about the name of that album because you seem like lovely people. What's there to be scared or be alarmed about?
We're not terrible. It is a lyric from the song on the album, the song Monster. And it's a lyric we repeat in that song. And I don't know.
Yeah, it just jumped out at us, I guess. I mean, and just as we function, we just kind of let things flow as they do, you know. If we're convicted of something, we don't really second guess it too much, you know. So when we were recording it, we were thinking of song order and album, you know, title and art and all that stuff. But it just jumped out as just kind of a powerful phrase, you know, and something that, you know, when we play that song Monster, it's like in those lyrics, it's almost as, you know, as if someone is saying that to us, you know, and just, you know, for the world, for people, you know, I mean, when are you told, you know, don't worry, you know, it's always like, what about this? What, you know, I mean, the culture of fear, not to get too, you know, but you know, so, but it's not like we were thinking that when we decided. That's kind of the processing after the fact.
Well, what do you want to wrap up with here?
We will play a song called One Heart. Got these four at this one heart that's filled with sin. Got these two hands to set me free. I'll be working, Lord, I'll be working, don't bother me. When you come around, turn your head, don't look for.
Those are the Erickson's live from Studio A. Well, thank you so much. I'm glad we finally made this work. We've been trying to get you guys in here for a little while here. I'm glad that we finally worked it out.
Absolutely. Thank you
so much.
To check out upcoming guests or to listen to our archive sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Arts. Today's program was produced by me, Christine Dean, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. This is live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening, and video from this session will be available online at theduluthscene.org.